Hello and welcome. Anyone who's complained that they find the study of history boring will surely need to rethink their position. This week, and increasingly over the last few years, figures like Tipu Sultan and Maharana Pratap have leapt from the pages of school textbooks to the forefront of national political discourse. Historians complain that politicians are trying to distort history in the service of a political agenda. Politicians, generally from the BJP, respond that mainstream Indian historians have been distorting Indian history in the service of a Congress and leftist political agenda for decades. Well, the losers in the slugfest, history as a discipline, and the millions of children studying it, whose education is now up for grabs as a tool for political indoctrination. Today we're asking, can history be righted? Can history be rewritten? On the show today, among one of the best-known historians writing on India, neither an academic or Indian by origin, although given how long he's lived here and how deeply he studied our past, I think I can call India his adopted country. We're pleased to welcome William Dalrymple. We also have Rana Safi, also an author, historian, and also a columnist, Amir Raza Hussain, theatre artist, Rakesh Sinha, director of the India Policy Foundation, Chandra B. Sharma, chairperson of the National Institute of Open Schooling, from the BJP, Dr. R. Balashankar from the Samajwadi Party, Juhi Singh, and Pavan Khera of the Congress. Thank you all. Dr. Balashankar, I want to start with you. We have so many young Indians here today in our studio. And growing up, we all took so much pride in the Taj. It's put us on the map. It is a UNESCO World Global Site. It is one of the seven wonders of the world. And then we have leaders of your party saying it's not part of Indian culture.
As far as we are concerned, Taj Mahal is a national heritage. It is part of our history. But Taj Mahal is also a world heritage. It is under UNESCO. It is protected monument. So as far as we are concerned, Taj Mahal has to be protected. And when our government came, when Kalyan Singhji was the chief minister there, he did a lot of work for beautification of Taj Mahal. And we made it one of the most visited monuments in India. But at the same time, there is a misrepresentation and misunderstanding of history of India. For some people, India's history begins in 1947. For some people, it is in the 14th century that the history begins. And as far as we are concerned, for the majority of Indians, the history of India begins from the Vedic age. And it's a long history. Why our textbooks are so boring? Two-thirds of the history books are taken away by the Mughal period. One-third of the history is taken away by the British period. And just a quarter of the history book is written about 2,000 or 5,000 years of India's history.
Okay, so history we don't have is boring. Let's jazz
so
it up.
We are
let's
trying to connect history
around. Facts
to the people of
in
this
the process.
Country.
Mr. Balashankar, I hope you're never on, Kaun Banega Karorpati, and you never have to call on Mr. Sangeet Som to be your lifeline. Because this is an MLA of the BJP, and he has not only said that it is a blot, the Taj Mahal is a blot on India's culture, he then displayed his ignorance and he mixed up Shah Jahan and Aurangzeb.
Is there any other country having a leader like this?
He would have been a laughing stock.
See, there is no finality on the understanding of history.
Huh.
History is a subject which anybody can interpret. Anybody can correct, anybody can rewrite, and it is a continuing process. That is why history is a very interesting subject. And
through history,
every country has been rewriting its history. Every country has been rewriting history, and historians have been working on understanding history better.
Yeah, because, I hear they are saying that the Germans won the Second World War.
Everybody has been rewriting history. And E.H. Carr has said, history, what is fact? Fact is only the raw material of a historian. And it is the bias of the historian that comes out as history. So every historian has a bias.
And fact
what facts you are going to represent, what facts are you going to take up, and what is that you are going to make it stand.
Okay. So Mr. Balashankar says that all countries are distorting history. Pavan, I want to come across to you. What he didn't say is that, so I'm going to say it, what the Congress has been doing for years is what they're doing now. They're doing nothing different except they've taken it to a different degree. They picked up the baton from you and they've run with it like the wind. Sonia Gandhi did say on NDTV, on our Walk the Talk show, that the emergency was a mistake. But we don't see any history textbook in any Congress-ruled state that focuses on this dark chapter of our history.
I'll start from where Mr. Balachandran
But
stopped.
Respond to this also,
I will,
please.
Definitely. I won't run away from any question. I'm not like him. My humble submission is history, I think, began on the 16th of May 2014. Let's erase everything else what happened before that. Let's start with Mr. Modi. Let's rewrite history as he is so obsessed about. And Let's admit, Mr. Modi constructed the Taj Mahal. I think it will end all confusion. We'll not have any conflict on this. I promise you from the Congress party, we'll not oppose this. Mr. Modi constructed the Taj Mahal. Now, problem with them is, they have always found themselves on the wrong side of history. They should correct their sides and not change the history. We'll celebrate their heroism the day they do something heroic. Till then, don't pull down our heroes, don't pull down the heroes of India. That's our humble submission to them. What is the one way of outdoing the Mughal architecture, for example? Come up with better architecture. Who won't celebrate that? It's a 3D politics. Digress, divert, and divide.
But answer my question. The
I am coming
that
to
the,
that.
Congress has done this in the past doesn't it expose you? It puts you on a weak wicket to actually take on the BJP on this issue.
I am coming to that. My party president said emergency was a mistake. I say emergency was a mistake. We can't undo that. But we'll definitely admit where we went wrong. We won't change the history. We won't say emergency was never imposed. Can we ever say that? Now that's the difference between us and them. Don't lie, don't divide, don't digress, don't divert our attention from what is happening today. History can give us lots of fault lines. A good governance is that which governs despite fault lines and not depending on those fault lines. They depend on fault lines. They don't ignore fault lines. That's my problem.
Okay. William, can you come in here? You're the historian. History is always the first victim of politics. A gentleman here from the BJP says, facts don't matter. Facts depend on the historian who's telling the story.
Well, he didn't quite say that, in all fairness. He said that facts are the building blocks of history, and the job of a historian is to interpret them. And he quoted E.H. Carr, who's a very respectable historiographer. Every generation looks at history in the light of their own experiences, in the light of what's happened before. Things that seemed unimportant suddenly come to great importance if it echoes with the time. So historians do have to look afresh at the sources, but you have to base it on solid research. So I would agree that it is the job of each generation to reinterpret, but you do so using solid building blocks of fact.
Where do we get this fact if none of us can agree on anything, if everyone is so polarized, nobody's willing to agree on what fact is?
I mean, I think the Taj Mahal is a very good example of something which is actually extremely well documented. For all the popular stories about the Taj, which you can hear from ill-educated guides taking you around, if you actually go to the scholars, I think there's very little academic debate on the facts of what actually happened with the Taj. The most outstanding scholar is Dr. Ebba Koch in Vienna. She spent 20 years examining every firman, every Persian inscription. She's gone through every inch of the Taj, looking at masons' marks, so you can see which masons made which things. You can see them later in the same masons working on the Red Fort, and so on. I mean, there are many, many areas of Indian history where scholars have many debates, but the actual facts of the building of the Taj Mahal are really quite well established because it was a big public project. At a time when we have not only many Mughal historians recording daily life, but also you have a number of foreign writers who are there at the time writing eyewitness. For example, Peter Mundy, an Englishman, is sitting there when they begin work, and you have an actual description of that. So the Taj is not actually an issue that there is any serious scholarly disagreement about at all.
But there's disagreement about much else. Rana, yeah. Come in over here. A few years ago, if you had said to me or to anyone that, you know, the Taj would actually be disowned by leading politicians in India, one would have laughed in your face. What do you think is going on here? Is this a reflection of India today?
This is, you know, like the Taj is a very important and a very iconic monument. So if you raise a finger at it, you are also in its light. So you come into the news also. But as William said, it's a very, very well-documented building. And three contemporary historians of Shah Jahan, that is Lahori, Kazwini and Kambo, all three of them say that the location that has been chosen for her burial is the very eminent and pleasant, because it's in Persian, the words that are used are Haveli and Manzil. Then they go on to describe that where did the masons come from, where did the architect come from. The architect was from Lahore, Abdul Hamid Lahori. At that time, Lahore was part of India, so you cannot say that he was not an Indian. Artisans came from all over India. The marble came from Rajasthan, Makrana. The sandstone came from there. This is a culmination of Indo-Islamic architecture. And the Taj Mahal was only possible in India. It could not have been built anywhere else in the world, including Central Asia, including Persia, anywhere. Because this is where you have a culmination of two streams of architecture, two streams of thought, and you have a king who is actually three-quarter Rajput.
With respect to William and Rana, whatever your facts are, in today's India, who the hell cares? We fabricate facts of our own. Rajasthan has started doing it for the last 2 years. Look what they've done. They are changing victors. They are changing facts of wars. Everybody is just doing what they want. In 10 years' time, the history that our children are going to read is going to be complete fantasy. Complete fantasy.
Rakesh, in 10 years' time, history is going to be complete fantasy. In India today, facts don't count.
This is a wrong interpretation of emerging narratives. You know, in France, Napoleon is being interpreted as a warmonger, also as a hero. A rightist prime minister interpreted him as a hero, and leftist prime minister interpreted him as a warmonger. So there is a space for narratives.
Let me complete.
Don't be excited because the way you interpret
it. Okay, go ahead, Rakesh. Finish your point, Rakesh.
Rhetoric. So this is a rhetoric that in 10 years entire history is being changed. Where is changed? I say nobody is disowning Taj Mahal. And we feel pride of the Taj Mahal. This is a great monument of India. Question is that if someone is going for a further research, in this room number 22, there are antiquities. They could be further researched. If nobody is saying that destroy Taj Mahal, having a parallel narratives, having a parallel research, further research doesn't mean that you are disowning, you are declaiming, you are destroying, number one. Number two, if someone is coming with a narrative and the fact that Man Singh has donated that fort, and that fort had one temple. Nobody is saying that if temple was destroyed and Taj Mahal was constructed, so it is wrong, it should be deconstructed, we don't feel pride. Means history is told and retold. Facts are unearthed. So don't stop the process of history.
Are you talking about P.N. Oak claiming
yes,
that there was
absolutely.
A Shiva temple there first?
No, I'm not
I
talking.
I just want to be clear because
I'm
you mentioned the temple,
the
so we need
I'm
to...
not talking about the... He is one of
then
the...
Then who are we talking about? Because
he is one of the figures. I'm just... I'm
no,
coming,
but we need to base it on facts. So if it's P.N. Oak, then
I am
let's
giving
say
the,
that. If not, who are you basing
fact.
This on?
I am giving the fact that that fort was donated by Man Singh. It was not captured, Man Singh. And if there is a narrative that why Taj Mahal was constructed at a particular place, Agra, if the parallel narrative emerges, let that narrative. That narrative is not going
but
to
be
dominate.
It has to be based on something.
Based on
it must be based. Mr. Sinha, the only person so far who's been saying this is P.N. Oak. Yeah. He has other bizarre theories also, including that Hindus, captured Italy, which would be a very difficult
Argentina
narrative for the BJP.
Argentina is actually Arjunstina.
Jesus Christ.
And Westminster Abbey was also a Shiva temple.
You can laugh at him. You
no,
can
Jesus Christ is Yashoda Krishna according to
you can laugh at him.
If he says that Hindus conquered Italy, that would be a very difficult narrative for the BJP because then it means that all Italians are Hindus.
It's not a question of
what are you going to do then?
It's not a question of... You don't drag everything.
You accept some theories of
don't drag everything in the narrative of BJP and Congress and left. I am just putting that. There is space for narratives. Don't be afraid of the narratives, emerging narratives. Give the democratic space in the history. Look, as far as Tipu Sultan is concerned, he was anti-British, no doubt. He had done a lot of things in science and technology, but there are other facts also. Why are you suppressing other facts? He had converted,
that's not
four,
why
he had converted 4 lakhs Hindus.
But that's not why
he had converted 4 lakhs
Mr.
Hindus.
No, no, but that is not why he is being
Again,
celebrated,
no,
Mr.
No
so
base to this.
Why?
But
why?
Instead of me responding, is there a historian
let
who
me
like
finish,
to respond?
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I've been one of the fortunate people who's actually, as a child, been inside the Taj Mahal, and the basement was still open, and I could see the two graves with the red sandstone, as far as my consciousness can tell me. I didn't see any temple. So I
nobody
mean
for, seen temple.
Sinha sahab, you said and the narratives
fort
exist.
Fort was donated. Fort
can I, sir, I didn't interrupt
I just, you,
sir,
because you interpreted, you, because you have...
Existed,
you,
alternative... Sir,
no,
I said,
what did I say?
Sir, is it so
no,
difficult
no, what did I say? I said that
view,
fort was donated
sir,
by Man Singh.
Sir, is it so difficult to just...
I didn't say that the temple was there.
Okay, fine. Can I just go ahead? The other part is that alternative narratives, whether the Dravidians came or the Aryans came and there were wars fought, there was a Magadhan Empire, there was Samrat Ashok, they always existed and people were left. You talk about 1857, some people say it's a military mutiny, some people say it's the first war of revolution. So all the people in this room know that. It's not your discovery. And historians have laid it down as such and we all accept it. I mean, a textbook part of history is what I'm saying here.
But Juhi, what exactly has your government done for the Taj? Adityanath's been in power only for the past few months. Once you get off that freeway, the highway, I mean, it is the armpit of the world.
We've done a lot around the Taj.
How much? A lot doesn't look like it.
Maybe it doesn't, but we have. I mean, maybe it doesn't really come across that we have not done. We've developed the roadways, we've developed the facilities, we've tried to develop the area around Taj. Not much can be done in that entire area. Nobody can touch the Taj, neither Yogi Adityanath. But yes, we've not made a photo op of sweeping, getting Swachh Bharat into Taj. That's their prerogative. their photography. And the most important thing is that we've been proud of Taj and we tried to preserve it just as it is.
But if we're proud of it, should we do more than just be proud? Deepak Dan, you are the president of the UP State Tourist Guides Welfare Association. What is your take on this whole controversy? This past week, Agra has been in the news. Do you think it's for the right reasons?
See, what has happened is the tourism has increased. But unfortunately, if you look at the figures of the guests coming from outside, there is a slight decline, and that is something which is worrying, because these controversies do not give us, project us in a very nice way. They may be our own problems, but then the world doesn't come to see problem. They want to see a project or a monument which is free from all problems. There are no incidences. He can go enjoy it, and believe me, I have talked to many people. They said nothing better than Taj Mahal in the world. So pure. People say this is the best thing we have seen in our life.
Well, and you say tourism has gone up, but we actually have fewer tourists than Thailand. And apart from that, there's no infrastructure at our tourist sites. Safety is a concern. We saw this week, while all the attention was on Yogi Adityanath cleaning up the Taj, we saw two Swiss tourists, a couple, being attacked and harassed. Any audience reactions? What do you... Go ahead.
As a student of history, I really think this, that we talk about, let's put Maharana Pratap in our history textbooks and just remove Taj Mahal. And we also say that another government come, they will say, let's put Shivaji in, and let's remove another Mughal emperor. So do you think it's gonna be take our history upward, or it will make us ending our history in such a way?
Why don't we go across here?
Yes, I think I'm on slippery ground. Everybody has something to sell. The Congress representative has to prove to his party that he's justifying his presence here, and all political parties. I'm an academic and I am here because of the interest of my learners. Why has history books been changed at least 200 times since we wrote the first history books for the NCRT? We went right up to Supreme Court for certain facts, and just Supreme Court said, yes, this must be changed. Why were all the Jat and the tribal leaders portrayed in our history books as looters? And the Supreme Court took a decision that, no, it's wrong. The Jat community reacted against it, and history books had to be changed. Why is everybody so worried about research? I think very well mentioned that we must research and let the facts come out. I'm sure on this that the textbook written for last 30 years have been biased and serving the interest of one party or the authors who wrote it. I have absolutely no hesitation in saying that the textbooks written were not neutral. Let me give you an example. I've read British textbooks. Do you know what British textbooks say about British government leaving India? It is there in their textbooks, sixth grade, that we had to leave India because after the Second World War, we did not have enough financial support to support a country like India. So we had to come out. And it's nowhere mentioned nowhere it is mentioned that there was a freedom struggle for 150 years. There is not a single mention of Mahatma Gandhi in textbooks of Pakistan.
Read Krishna Kumar.
That has been criticized severely by historians in Pakistan.
No, now, what I want Pakistan to prove and what I'm trying to make a point of is that history books are not gospel truth. History books are not gospel truth. We must research, and if research says we have written something which was not correct, we must change it.
Okay.
Why is everybody so worried about the research and the facts coming to fore?
Can we just change the outcome of a war?
No.
400 years ago, the winner of the Battle of Haldighati was Akbar. Now, 400 years later, we're saying it's Rana Pratap.
Let's not make it an issue. Let there be research. Why are we afraid of research? Who wrote all these textbooks and who wrote all this research? Immediately after the Mughals, the British came and none of them served the interest of Bharat.
Pardon? You said last 30 years, I think.
Yes, when were the first NCRT books written?
Okay, and then before that, no research was conducted, is what you said.
Okay, look, I'm giving one example. NCRT books are the main point of
I do read my NCRT.
No, I'm not from any party, I'm an academic and I have
mentioned.
You are representing a party, I'm not representing a party. I'm an academic. So if I don't support Congress,
academic credentials are there for all of us to see.
We know that.
Yes.
Can we please let all the panelists speak?
Give one example why we need certain changes. Guru Tegh Bahadur is one of heroes of Indian society, not only Sikhs. And NCRT book mentioned him as a rapine, Miss Lutera. If it was changed, then there was a memorandum against Murali Manohar Joshi, the then HRD minister, by a so-called eminent historians, that you are saffronizing history books. I don't say that every change is desirable. Every change can be respected. There may be biasness from all the sides. When the narrative and counter-narrative comes, when binary is created, then certain misplaced interpretation comes out. So we have to avoid binary, we have to avoid the misinterpretation, and you have rightly pointed out when you asked question to Pawan Khera, which he avoided. There was an effort to create a new history by Indira Gandhi. Aapko yaad ho ek tamrapatra lal kile ke mein niche gara gaya tha jisko emergency ke baad hataya gaya tha. A new history was written. Agar emergency nahi hatta aur wo tamrapatra milta to India ka itihas 200 years after kya hota. So, you are not condemning, in the modern Indian history, you are not condemning. If you don't know,
I'll tell you about another Tamrapatra under the Birla Mandir, which you guys tried to plant.
Oh my God.
Should I start?
Oh my God.
Godse did not kill Mahatma Gandhi, I think it was Mahatma Gandhi who killed Godse.
Look, again you are obsessed with Godse.
What kind of politics? What kind of narrative are you trying to
Yes, Mahatma Gandhi killed Godse.
What kind of politics are you trying?
Why Mahatma Gandhi killed Godse?
Agai saab bol diya inhone,
dekh lijiye. I don't think this is the level of a discussion. I don't think this can be the level of a discussion. It's completely unacademic and unethical.
Mahatma Gandhi, idea of Mahatma Gandhi killed the idea of Godse. Here it is not the physical killing.
Whatever.
Idea of Mahatma Gandhi is acceptable to the entire nation, respective ideology
but
and political party.
No,
don't go like that.
History needs to be rewritten. Let's go across to somebody who's affected by this every day. Rashmi, here is a teacher. You teach class 10, 11 and 12 students. So, you know, being a teacher is exceedingly difficult, and teaching senior school students is even harder because they're always trying to trip you up, and there's going to be that smart aleck who's trying to get your facts wrong. But in your case, actually, there's no such thing as facts. It depends on which state you're teaching in, and it depends on which government is in power. So how do you manage?
Yeah, it's really very difficult to when the history is changed, to tell the student, no, this is not true, this is true. What sir said is really true. If facts and evidences are there, history can be rewritten.
Okay, if facts and evidences, how do we decide on facts and evidences, Mr. Chandra? Is it just the majority that decides?
There are methods of research. See, there has not been enough research on Indian sites, Indian places, and everything has been written, unfortunately, on secondary sources, one, and two, based on one's ideologies. We have not criticized ideologies. As soon as we start criticizing textbook, ideologies come up, parties come up. That clearly goes on to say that textbooks are not neutral. They are party and ideology and politics supported. That must go away. I mean, I'm not supporting the gentleman from BJP. Then, and I'm criticizing the stand taken by the Congress. I'm immediately said he is from the party. Please have the patience to hear academic arguments. And see, I'll remind you of one discussion on NDTV when the BJP came And it was made an issue that Ramayana and Mahabharata have been introduced. It was introduced during the Congress government.
No, but introduced, whether Congress or BJP, as myth or introduced as fact.
No, no.
The study of mythology and the study of history is very different. Do we accept that?
I'm making two points. Our history books are not genuine. People laugh at our textbooks. We have not given enough space to research, and that must be given place.
You know, I've been a student of history in college. I've never read an NCRT book in my life. I don't even know what the damn thing looks like. But I must tell you that, you know, where we have this narrative of a Congress history and a BJP history, I don't think we can call anything a Congress history. I don't think these people were actually... I'm no sort of flag waver for the Congress, and but I don't think these people were actually doing that kind of messing around in history, because the books which I have read have foreign authors, have authors from all over the world, and have great, respected Indian authors, and they are all normally saying the same thing about the facts. They have their own, the Marxist historians have their own way of presenting the facts. Other historians have their own way. But nobody disputes the facts. So I think, I don't know if the Congress Party can go out and affect writers from all over the world to write history according to them. So, you know, this BJP Congress thing, I don't know where it's come from suddenly.
Okay, but William, in today's world, when we have access to the internet, what are we fighting over? Because we can actually go and research this and look up other writings on it, even abroad. Why
because Sangeet
so Sohm
doesn't go
so
to
much?
The internet.
I think this is a problem in many in many countries.
Sangeet
it isn't
Sohm.
Only India
Let
that
us
has
glorify.
Its facts.
The more you discuss him, the more he gets prominence.
But he is the MLA who has made that
Fine.
Statement.
So let
so
us
we can't
now
dismiss
start
him.
Discussing
let's
facts
listen to
he's
William
heading,
now.
In many countries, you have disputes over history. An obvious one is Israel and Palestine, where the whole debate about what happened in 1948, whether the Palestinians were expelled, how many there were. And in Israel, like here, you have textbooks going backwards and forwards between two different parties. In Britain, we have a huge absence in our history books. The empire is hardly taught at all. So it isn't just the freedom struggle that's missing. It's the entire Raj is absent from our history books. And,
yes.
And it's so while the Brits learn about racism, it's something the Germans do. You know, and these, so there are, you know, there are holes in many countries. But I think one of the things that's, I mean, in a sense, I've made my career out of is the fact that so many people here find the textbooks, as well as being politically dodgy, they find them very, very dull.
Correct.
And you do not have a generation of kids growing up who learn to love history at school. They learn to be bored by history at school.
And almost, study by rote.
Almost every fan letter I ever get starts with, I hated history at school, but... And there is a problem here, because then the people don't go and visit the monuments. The monuments are not cared for.
Yeah.
Going back to Agra, people, you know, the Taj is quite well looked after, but there are 30 or 40 other Mughal gardens in and around Agra, which are totally neglected. And there is there is mooted a whole idea to revive the riverfront of Agra. Agra was like Venice. You went by boat from beautiful garden to palace. It was one of the most magnificent things. And there is enough left that if will and political money is thrown into it, you could turn Agra into one of the greatest tourist
but
hubs
sir,
of the world. The potential in
Mr.
this
Balchandra,
country
but even
for
then there's
to
no
earn
priority
money to
given to Agra. According to the UP government, it wasn't even in their tourism brochure.
Taj Mahal is so well known that it is not necessary to be mentioned even in the Rosam map, you know. It is a world heritage. But I have something else to talk about history. The first history that we had, archaeological survey of India is not even 100 years old. The British wrote the history of India. And later, it was Jawaharlal Nehru who started the ICHR, you know, for the idea of having an Indian history and to write about and research about Indian history. Afterwards, we have a tradition of rewriting and understanding Indian history based on archaeological facts. And still we are excavating for archaeological evidences. William Dalrymple, for example, has written the most controversial book on Mughals. You know, so new researchers are coming.
I'm not aware of any controversy about my Mughal books at all.
I have read most of your books, and I would say that, you know, most of the facts that were unknown to Indians have been brought out in those books.
So why
and so many books. I can mention about them.
This is not about William Booker.
I'd like to come in here on the NCRT textbooks. Last year, I volunteered in a school for 3 months and in Kashmir, and I taught history to class 6, 7, and 8 from the NCRT books, and they are beautifully written. History depends on how you teach it. If you just teach them dates and wars, nobody's going to like it. It is the story behind it, because the word story comes into it. But the story has to be based on facts. Now, as sir mentioned, that the tribals are not mentioned. The most beautiful story that there was in the book was about Birsa Munda.
And that has been incorporated recently.
No, last year. I'm talking of last year. And the books were not made and printed in 2014. They were printed earlier.
In fact, only when the Jharkhand was created and the tribals made a hue and cry about it, the Birsa Munda has come in. And also, tribal leaders from Northeast, from Orissa, they have been included. Only when Jharkhand talked about Birsa Munda and they rejected NCRT books on the ground, that why should we study your textbooks?
So there might be other people apart from Jharkhand talking about this. You know, you were just putting
read Birsa Munda when we were growing up. I don't know what you need
to talk
about.
I don't know.
To be fair, studying in the North, you don't really know about the Cholas or any of the dynasties in the South. You don't know about the
Homs in Assam.
And the NCRT books mention the Cholas, they mention the Chalukyas, they mention
make space for other regional history. Does that mean we have to cut out Nehru?
No, we don't. These textbooks are all graded now.
Of the first prime minister.
Class 6 has the, you read about the ancient history and you have the various kingdoms, including the Chola and the Chalukyas. Then you gradually come on to class 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Every class has a separate era of history being taught, and it's beautifully represented. Everything is there. As a person who studies history and who writes about history, I found that the facts were all, whatever was written there was based on original sources.
I think the entire debate is, nobody is going to change the facts. If I change the facts, society would reject it.
But Rajasthan has changed the fact about Haldighati.
Let me. It's, you know, everything has certain logic. Without logic, nothing happens.
What's the logic in Haldighati? I'm telling you,
I accept that there is a left perspective, there is a right perspective. Nobody can deny this fact. Just if I have to write the history of India, suppose I am writing the history of India, modern India, I would see that there was a conflict between Nehru and Patel, and I would quote Nehru's letters to Patel, and I would quote the Patel's letter to Nehru. I am giving one example. Both Nehru and Patel had resigned from their cabinet. Nehru said, I am not capable to be a prime minister, and you as a home minister, I'm resigning.
If history is written after 100 years, there would be a conflict in your party
also. We also mentioned the Margdarshak Mandal.
Yes.
Let him finish.
I'm not talking about the Mulayam Singh and Akhilesh. I'm talking Nehru and Patel. I'm not talking dynasty. You people are from dynasty. I know that. You serve the dynasty. Both you and Pawan Khera dynasty.
Let me complete. Let me complete.
हमारे परिवार संघ परिवार से बेहतर है.
I say that I have a perspective, and I would write that Nehru had resigned and Sardar Patel wrote to Nehru that I am resigning because I am not capable enough to be a home minister under you. Some leftist may avoid that. There are perspective narrative. I have a right to select. And it is society, is the wisdom of the common people and strength to accept or reject this. But don't stop the process of research, process of narrative, and you just reject because someone is right, someone is left. I welcome leftist historians. I welcome rightist historians. I welcome centrist historians. In 1942, the Communist Party of India had sabotaged the Quit India movement. You go to the entire history book, how much they have been glorified by historians like eminent historians like Bipin Chandra and others. They have not mentioned that they had sabotaged in People's
War. You didn't even participate, sir.
Let me last, 10 seconds.
The question is to
there
me.
Was People's May War.
Oh, yes, last,
Rakesh, there was People's
you started
War.
This
there was
and now
People's
we're
going
to have to go down a different path.
Communist
Quickly
Party
make your
of India.
Let Pavan respond,
one sentence,
let's move on.
Last sentence completely. There was People's War, a Communist Party general, that published a cartoon of Subhash Chandra Bose, Tojo's Dog. Why not history book mention all these facts? The role of the Communist Party of India during the Quit India movement. Why you are glorifying? So history must be changed if it has a wrong narrative, wrong perspective.
Pavan, quickly respond.
No, he's talking about the Quit India movement.
Put the question
what was Shyama Prasad Mukherjee doing?
Yes.
You're right.
No, please, I don't stop you. He supported the Muslim League in Sindh, passed the resolution of partition, wrote letters to the British that we will not participate in the Quit India movement because he wanted to be a part of that government in the Sindh Assembly. when all other Congress and everybody else had withdrawn to join the Quit India movement. Yes, history should mention all that
yes,
too.
Yes, I accept this.
Under this government, history will not mention Shyama Prasad Mukherjee's disservice to the country by not just avoiding the Quit India movement, but joining hands with the Muslim League in the Sindh Assembly and passing the resolution for partition, and they blame us for partition.
I think we should stick to the discussion on Taj Mahal.
Yes, let's stick to the discussion.
Now they want us to restrict to Taj Mahal. When he was talking about Quit India movement, nobody wanted to restrict the debate to Taj Mahal.
Is that for every parent in India, all they want is an education for their kids. Let's go cross, bring in the audience over here now. How do we make sure that our kids are studying history and they're not
being given political propaganda? I have a question to both Congress and BJP members sitting here. Was India really independent in 1947? India was divided in 1947. It was not independent at that time. And it is you people who have manipulated history by telling us that India is getting independence, though the country was divided at that time.
Because Nagpur never thought that the British were the enemy. They still don't think that. For them, it was just Mughals. And after that, it's now Mr. Modi. Nothing happened in between. He asked me that question.
Only Italian edition book.
We'll come back to you. He asked me that question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, if the British are not your enemy, fine. We did not get our independence in 1947. I agree with you. And I told you who divided the country.
Pawan sir, can I?
In the Sindh Assembly, the first resolution to be passed in favor of partition was by Shyama Prasad Mukherjee, his ideologue.
Alright, can we just get some quick audience reactions and then we'll get responses from all our panelists.
What I believe and what everybody would believe that Taj Mahal is just a symbol of love, right? Let's suppose that we are doing a research and tomorrow you get a mandir inside it. Can we imagine the kind of conflicts that we are going to have? Yeah. Is it not an extra mileage to 2019 elections? I mean, come on, what are we...
Okay, you got the point. Let's get some more reactions.
Rewriting the history is a good thing, but... the intention seems to be communal.
Mr. Bala, will you respond? This young man here says the intention is a suspect here.
The problem is, you know, the Congress history is written and BJP history is a work in progress. The problem is also that Indian history has to be written because everybody has been trying to write history from their own perspective. But for the people of this country, we need a history that is our national history. And that is what we are trying to do. And for that, it is not about Taj Mahal. We need more research work, we need better documentation, and we have to present facts with a sense that it is not a chronological idea about the kings and the rulers of the country, but it is the history of the people of this country.
I'm speaking of youngsters who live in urban cities. Mm-hmm. Do we want a national history? Do we want a global history? Do we want to be able to live and gel and move across countries and borders? And do we need to know history for
that? My stand would be history is history and it has to be based on facts. There might be distorted facts. There might be misunderstanding on the basis of political parties influencing or whatever. But if new facts come to life, you have to mention, as an academic, I will again mention, don't worry about the government. Don't worry about... communalization, don't worry about global pressures, just say the truth and let our children know the truth. What was the truth about Taj Mahal? If someone says there was a Shiv Mandir and that was destroyed, let there be research, and if it was the truth, let it come into the textbooks. Why should we be afraid about it? If it was a Mandir, then why not mention it?
Yeah, but
if
you must discuss it on some facts.
There is no mention of any Mandir anywhere.
You have to base it on fact, for God's sake.
Why are you all in
a country with meager resources, when history is so boring, when nobody wants to study in our schools, do you put in your resources to follow this trail, or do you focus maybe on just
If new evidence turns up, obviously you have to change the narrative. But you're raising an issue of a Shiv Mandir when there is no evidence of anything of any sort being.
I'm neither saying nor rejecting it.
Of course you're saying.
I'm neither saying nor rejecting.
William is saying there is no evidence.
There have been
all voices without facts.
Who have you based this on?
There's a
no, sir. This is not your classroom.
Hold on. Chandra, what are you basing this on?
I'm making my argument. Let me make it. You have just now shouted at Mr. Dr. Professor Rakesh Sinha,
I didn't interfere.
Let me finish my argument.
One second. We're going to run out of time. Let's get quick reactions.
My question basically was that I feel that with today's curriculum, the problem is that we are asking the wrong questions. We are seeking truth. We should be seeking facts. We're trying to sort people into good people and bad people. Well, there have been both. It's not that there's a one-dimensional person. And that's the problem with history today. Tipu Sultan becomes a hero against the British. Before that, every Muslim king is an invader. He is the other in some senses.
If there was a temple and now there was a mosque, then this place is both Hindu and Muslim. So we should care about the Taj Mahal.
I think that's a great point. But okay, quick.
Since Mr. Sinha, as the debate has progressed, you've been suggesting alternative perspectives. So how far are we reaching from an Orwellian state when the people in power distort the facts so much that there remains no evidence itself of what actually happened? Since we are seeing that the people in power are changing the history according to what they think.
I think that's a great comment.
The question that I want to ask is that are we going to renunciate or politically abandon other such structures as well? For example, the Parliament House or the Sansad Bhavan? Because it was also constructed by a British architect only.
So opened up a Pandora's box. Next is, will the PM be making a speech on independence from the
colonialism did more harm to India when compared
quickly,
to...
Quickly, last comment.
In schools and colleges, we are asked to write essays on unity in diversity, which is based on the essence that in the country we have a culture, multiculturalism. We embrace multiculturalism. So is that going to change in the future?
Okay, closing arguments, please. Chandra, first, why do Indian students have to suffer? Because the viewpoint of Murli Manohar Joshi is different from Mr. Javadekar, is different from Arjun Singh or whoever the Congress education minister is. Why does the Indian student have to suffer because of this?
I'll again make the same argument that government has influenced textbook writing so much in this country, and that was the
Should
reason
that... Should
we put
an end to that?
Pardon? Yes, that... Academia must be free from political interference and academics must be free to write what they feel on the basis of the research. Research has been biased and selective. We should get away from this and let neutral textbooks be written, which I believe has not happened till now, and facts must come to light. As soon as there is a demand for research and research-based textbooks, everybody starts shouting because someone has and everybody has from the political parties, something to grind, something to get out of.
Rana, can there be a neutral textbook? Is neutral in history? I mean, is that a euphemism?
Who would accept somebody as neutral? That because history is based on interpretation of facts. So, supposing it's a Congress government, I'm neither from Congress or from BJP. So, I am just a writer and a student of history, a writer of history. So, political parties or the people who govern the academic councils accept as neutral? That's a big question, because they would say their people are neutral, the other would say theirs are neutral. Now, as far as research is concerned and the Taj Mahal, there's already a huge book on Taj Mahal called The Taj Mahal, The Illumined Tomb by Begley and Desai, which already has all the contemporary sources given in it, including the foreigners who came, the Europeans, including all the verses written. So that's already there. So history
Ahmed, come in, you're closing Wikipedia.
No, that's you've got it wrong. It's absolutely wrong. The academic here says that unless there is research that there was a temple here, then the history is all wrong.
I mean, what you're kind of words in my mouth?
What kind of absolutely?
You're not to do that.
It's also on your mind. Now. It's also on your tongue, my friend. We've got to figure out how we can take a neutral stance on not just on history, on culture, on life, on how this country is to be governed, how 120 million people are going to live together without fighting. We've got all these issues to decide. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, no, facts must come out to the temple. Man, facts must come. I'm an academic. What rubbish and nonsense.
Rakesh Sinha, your closing argument, the fact is politicians across parties, governments are playing with the future of our children. Already the state of affairs in government schools is terrible. Anybody who can afford it won't send their kid to a government school. And on top of that, we keep changing the syllabus.
No, we should take care that kids should not suffer. And history should not be rewritten in such a way that contradictions should be in such a way that there should be anarchy in the history book. But I have to make 2 points. You know, when we go for the holistic history, I just with one example. If I am mentioning Uda Devi, a Parsi lady who fought for the freedom struggle, a martyr in Uttar Pradesh, that doesn't mean that I am demonizing Lakshmi Bai. I am taking a speech from Lakshmibai. If I am mentioning the Rani Gadenlu from Northeast, she was not even really queen. Jawaharlal Nehru called her queen because due to her sacrifices. That doesn't mean that I am, if Rani Chennamma is getting more space, that doesn't mean that Rani Lakshmibai is getting less space. This is the history that has excluded many things. And I mentioned Uda Devi. How many people know about Uda Devi? You don't go to the textbook. So I say that if we are getting more and more facts, ancient Indian history has been missing from the history textbook. When it was discovered that zero was discovered in India, the way people laughed, then people laughed. Oh, zero was discovered in India? What a nonsense. Now everybody accept this. We must think in terms of Indian history rather than the history of British history, rather than the history of others. We should welcome all the narratives and go for the facts and logic.
So Pavan,
I think that's well said.
Yeah. Okay, Pavan,
we should be advisor to the Rajasthan government. You know, what are they doing, sir?
Sara, we are reading too much into the Taj controversy. It's a very internal issue with the BJP. Advani ji always ended up making Atal ji look more moderate. That's their politics. Now, Sangeet Som will end up making Adityanath sound more moderate. For Modi ji to sound moderate, we require a lot of lynch mobs and everybody else. That's a different issue. I really am enamored with the socialist take on the Taj. It's refreshingly so poetic. May I? It's ye chaman zar, ye jamuna ka kinara, ye mahal. ये मुनक्कश दरो दीवार ये महराब ये ताक एक शहंशाह की दौलत का सहारा लेकर हम गरीबों की मोहब्बत का उड़ाया है मजाक. That's the way I look at it. It has got no politics. I'm a socialist at heart. That's the way I respond to Taj.
Okay, let's see what happens when the Congress comes back in power next, if they do. But Mr. Balashankar, closing argument, your closing argument, Mr. Sinha, one second.
That Congress will come back.
That is a separate debate. That is a separate debate, Mr. Sinha. We can invite you for that. Can Mr. Balashankar respond to this? Mr. Sinha says that we need to make space for other parts of our history that isn't included. But does that mean we don't mention the Gujarat riots, not mentioned, Nehru not mentioned in class 8 textbooks? How do we select what to carry and what not to carry?
Action is a very difficult process. You know, how much you can contain in a textbook. So it's a difficult process. But the core history has to be, which is authentic, which is factual, and which is the narrative of the people of the country. And what I'm saying is, you know, if we are having a debate on history, on textbooks, on mythology, on anything, let there be a debate. If you are accepting many Ramayanas, let us have many interpretations of history. And the people understand what is the real history.
That is myth, and one is myth, and one is history, sir.
No, no.
So you can have many interpretations of history. Can you have many interpretations of history?
That is reigning the pseudo secularism in the country. That is creating all these controversies.
There is a difference between myth and history.
That is why everybody, Pawan Kera, is saying,
okay, closing, we're completely out of time. William, last word to you. How do we make history more interesting, given the times we live in, the political times that we live in? How do we make history more interesting for our kids? Like I said right in the beginning, the biggest losers are Indian students studying in our schools today.
Well, one thing that the BJP and the Congress have in common is that they've totally neglected to fund the ASI, which means that monuments around this country are falling apart, unpleasant for tourists to visit. Another thing they have in common is that there's no listing of monuments beyond the ASI anywhere else in the world. Important private buildings cannot be interfered with. You can't just knock down a beautiful haveli because you want to build an office block. Things have to be protected and listed, and history has to be enforced by law. Neither the BJP or the Congress have done that. And the country's history is falling apart in front of us. In old Delhi in the last 30 years, all the havelis have gone. And we'll never get that back. Your grandchildren will never get to see those things. So there's a huge amount to be saved still, and action needs to be taken beyond this political squabbling.
So we don't value history unless it's for political gain. And unless that changes, nothing's really going to change for any of us. Thank you so much. We're completely out of time. Let's not allow anyone to play with the future of our children. Let's agree on that note. Thank you so much for joining us on We the People. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.